Did you know color is vital to your health? I'm not talking about the color of the walls in your house or your clothes. I'm talking about the color of the food you eat. A colorful diet is a part of staying well because many nutrients are color. The antioxidant lycopene is the red pigment in tomatoes and pink grapefruit. Chlorophyll is excellent for balancing pH and cleansing the body. It's the green in kale, spinach, and broccoli. Eating a wide variety of fruits and vegetables provides your body with diverse chemistry it needs to heal itself and stay well. Eat the peelings of things like apples and carrots. Balance of Nature is whole produce. It contains all the vital parts in balance. Color, taste, and smell keep you well, and that's what you get with Balance of Nature.
Start your journey. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Get free shipping and get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code KATE.
Uncle Milty here for HearingAndBrainCenters.com. Two men stopped me the other day and pulled their guns out. I looked at them and said, "You guys are going to be in real trouble because the president has vowed to do something about gun violence and crime." The last thing I remember was laughter and a sharp pain on my head. Uncle Milty here for HearingAndBrainCenters.com, 435-612-1023, HearingAndBrainCenters.com. 435-612-1023.
A nation under fraud, completely visible, with lying and spying for all. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Hi there, welcome, Kate Daly Show. Just got off the Alex Jones Show, literally had 3 minutes, and here I am. You can catch that show. I had Sheriff Richard Mack on that show. I also had Sophie and Jen, who are joining me for a minute here. And I also talked a little bit about some of the discrepancies on the Texas shooting, because I'm just trying to put together a timeline. Very difficult to do so, and I'll explain why in just a minute. Really difficult because of the tweets that the elementary school sent out and the school district, and it's really hard, very difficult, I should say, to get some sort of timeline. Very interesting event. And so before we get rolling, I just wanted to mention UtahLibertyFestival.com. You need to check out this Liberty Festival up north. And this is in June. And by the way, wonderful veterans are speaking. I think Dr. Brian Artis will be there. They've got some wonderful, wonderful doctors there. So please be a part of that. UtahLibertyFestival.com. I also wanted to mention, I'll be on Sherry Tenpenny's show tomorrow. I had to reschedule for Monday, and I had some sinus stuff going on Monday. And so I will be on that show in the early hours of the morning, which is really tough for me, but I'm going to do it. And so that's the Sherry Tenpenny Show, and that is tomorrow. So I just wanted to let everybody know about that. All right. So I have Sophie and Jen. Thanks for joining me on Alex Jones. You guys rocked it, man. You did a great job.
Thank you. It was so fun to be on there with you. Thank you for letting us.
We had a blast. It was great info. And see, this is the reason I had you guys on, was because I wanted other people in other states to make this a very national thing where they were going after their state. Because as I said on Alex Jones, Utah isn't even a swing state. It's not even a swing state, for Pete's sakes. And look at all the fraud that our governor and lieutenant governor are trying to say didn't happen. And I find that to be so interesting that they have no desire. In fact, we'll even call you un-American if you try to look at it. And so what are some of the newest developments, Sophie and Jen, that you want to share with the audience?
Well, you know, it's interesting that things seem to get really crazy right around election time all the time. We've got the primaries coming up. You know, we've got, you know, shootings. We've got monkeypox, which sounds a lot like moneypox to me.
Exactly.
But all these things are always seem to be going on as part of this plan around these elections. I mean, literally things revolve around these elections and these people. And one of the things that we thought was very interesting That we talked about with you just barely on the 2000 Mules is those nonprofit organizations. I mean, nobody wants more than Sophie and I swear, and Phil Lyman to get a list of who those nonprofits are.
Right.
And when we've been looking for the data here, it's been covered up. It's been hidden. It's Sophie just got a response this week that said, we're still working on things in December. And when we get through that, then we'll start looking at your stuff for this particular subject.
Yeah.
But those nonprofits were able to be paid directly from the Zuckerbucks, the $420 million to people. And that's alarming because in Utah, we had that money funneled through Utah County and Cache County, two counties which, by the way, are very, very difficult for us to work with public records. I call Cache County a black hole.
It's true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love the point that you guys are bringing up. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Kate, I think, you know, of course we know there's collusion, there's corruption, there's crime.
There are corruption deniers, though, Sophie. They deny corruption. And our county commissioners are denying corruption and even calling you guys just, you know, gals selling T-shirts. It's always interesting to me how they start to defame people and go after them. They call me a cave dweller because I like the Constitution. And so that always intrigues me that the county commissioners then are corruption deniers. They absolutely, no corruption here. Nope, don't look here. It is strange. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
No, it's very strange. To your point, I can't tell you how many counties we have had say to us, these county clerks or just election officials say to Jen and I, do you understand the amount of collusion it would take to, you know, to steal an election? You guys are up in the night. You know what? Mm-hmm. What are you even doing? There's just no way this could possibly be done.
Right.
And we're just like, where have you been? Have you been in a cave? Like,
right. Seriously.
You know, I can't imagine anyone watching 2000 Mules, mm-hmm. and that's just one aspect of how they perpetrated the fraud. Right. How anyone can deny that our elections were not superior, they were not clean and clear and beautiful and the gold standard. And for Jen and I, every time someone won't even look at the data, won't even entertain another perspective, it is so alarming to us. And the sad thing is, it's most of the people in Utah, the elected officials in Utah.
So true.
And Kate, we'll kind of go into a little other part of what we're dealing with. You know, our local GOP is it's a rhino infestation.
Right.
We've got.
Right.
It's so alarming. Really quickly, Jen and I were at the state GOP convention, and we had the Salt Lake County GOP chair, Chris Knoll, come up to us and wave his finger in our faces and say, stop what you're doing. Stop it right now. You're going to cause a constitutional crisis. You're going to...
I think the fraud did that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, wow. We are powerful.
Who was this?
Yeah. This is the Salt Lake County GOP chair, Chris Knoll.
Wow.
And he said, you're going to ruin our party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, probably needs to be. Like, we need a total cleaning out. But anyway, he said that we were viewed as being crazy, that no one would like us, and that we were ineffective. He went on and on and on. And I am just like looking at him like, you're a traitor.
That's so true. I laugh because it's just so absurd that you're having to defend yourselves instead of somebody saying, really, what do you have? Let me see it. Let me see what you've got.
Well,
I want to see what you uncovered.
What's interesting is he had access to the committee report on election integrity for Salt Lake County. And he told Sophie and I at that situation at the state convention that he was recommending that it be watered down only to 2 or 3 points on what needed to be looked at. And I said, are you kidding? You can't water that down. You need to expose everything that you guys have found that's been wrong. And he's like, well, no, we don't want people to get overwhelmed. And I'm like, why do you care what people think? Just do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he launches into a conversation about, well, I care what people think, and you guys should care more what people think because you're not very effective. And we're like, we don't care what people think, period.
Yeah.
But he just says, I'm worried. You know, I'm worried. I don't want to make somebody up. You know, I thought, oh, you're the wrong person for the job. Let's get him replaced as soon as possible.
Jeez. You know, the county commissioners should be embarrassed, especially the ones that are trying to demonize you here, because that's about what we get in county commissioners here, Manny Moe and Jack. And I'm brutal about them because I've seen them do really not much for liberty at all. And they're not calling this out at all. They're not even inquisitive, which really makes me sick, to tell you the truth, because everyone's like, oh, yeah, they're really nice guys. Nice guys would actually look into the fraud to see if there's anything there. It's kind of like what Sheriff Mack said. He said, I challenge every sheriff in 3,100 counties in America to actually look at the evidence and then decide whether you are, whether you're going to, go after this evidence and investigate it or not. But at least show up, at least take an interest in this. And he's right. So it always baffles me when people come to you and shake their finger in your face and try to get you to say stop by saying people won't like you. I really don't think, Sophie and Jen, that bothers you.
Actually very, very excited that he thought we had so much power.
Right.
We're like, wow, we're going to make a new t-shirt.
Jeez. I'm just so baffled. So,
well, and back to your sheriff thing really quick. If there is a sheriff in Utah who is willing to do this, please reach out to us or Phil Lyman.
Mm-hmm.
And we have evidence. We have proof. We have data. We don't have a sheriff so far who's willing to stand up for our constitutional rights, which this is. This is the First Amendment right. Our vote is our voice.
Yeah. I don't have words for this, and I hate to keep saying that. I probably sound like a broken record, but I'm stunned. I'm also stunned that Dee Dee and Spency pronouns, he is actively saying it's un-American to look. You should not want to look here. Don't look. And does that make anyone more suspicious? I'm just asking for a friend. Does that make you more suspicious of what you're going to find? Crazy.
Yeah. You know what, Kate? I can honestly say that there is a really good chance that if they would have not been so adamant in the cover-up of these records,
right,
there's a really good chance that Jen and I would have been like, oh, I guess there's nothing here.
Right.
Like, they're so transparent. Everything's clean and on the up and up. What they've done is they've lit a fire under us because we know, I mean, at every turn, it's no records responsive, even though we have proof that there's records responsive. There's lawsuits for us trying to get data.
Yeah.
There's threats. There's, the fact our lieutenant governor is trying to get Jen and I's case dismissed for these election returns is just, it's unconscionable. Let a judge decide if we have the right to this data, which we know we do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. But as Utah's election official, she should be fighting right next to us.
Oh, she should be wanting to know.
Third red pill.
It's like little children. Don't look in my room. I have chocolate all over my mouth. Don't look at me. I didn't do anything. I mean, they're like little children. Most liberals are. They're like little kids.
Yes. And what's so sad to us is it's all the people with the R's next to the names.
Yes. It sickens me. And we need to put more pressure on sheriffs, county commissioners who want to act like nothing's happening. And we need to start showing up there. And then also put some, and I really appreciate you guys. Thank you for coming on. Put some pressure on people, please. And start emailing them. You know, the vicars that wore the crown of letters and all of the people that have been in on just kind of keeping all this down, you know? Thank you, Sophie and Jen. Really appreciate you. Really appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Thank you
guys are awesome and rocked it. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
the song Don't Let Them Take Your Gun by Grand Funk Railroad, which they probably won't play on the radio anymore, I'm guessing. I haven't heard it, except for this show. And I want to kind of go over some of the problems with the timeline. I was trying to put together a timeline for the show of the shooting because, of course, we all think it's so horrific and we want to make sure and get down to the bottom of it and kind of see how things played out so we could prevent it again, you know? So I had a really difficult time with this timeline, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm just trying here. I mean, you know, if you can help lend a hand, perfect. Before we go there, also, the family I talked about that really needs some help with their son, who is 27 years old, 6'8", and 6'8", big kid, and severely autistic, and needs a room built in their garage for him. And I would sure appreciate plumbers, electricians, drywallers, people to step up and really, really help this situation. You can go to Venmo and help this family out. They are a very, you know, they're a family that doesn't want the help. They really don't. They are, you know, they've tried to do it on their own, but they've just spent about 6 months trying to deal with 24-hour care, the changing of diapers and bathing in a situation that is very difficult to do that without handicapped facility. They need to build this in their garage. They're a Washington City resident and longtime family resident, and they really need your help. So this is an ask. I'm asking. We still need plumber, electrician, drywaller. Just please, if you can help the situation, Venmo at Dollars for Dallin, D-A-L-L-I-N, Dollars for Dallin. It's a number four. Dollars for, number four, Dallin, D-A-L-L-I-N. Please give to this very, very worthy family that really needs your help right now. I can't imagine being at the end of my rope, taking care of a special needs child, and the state's alternative is to send him up north where you could never see him and then never know what's really going on with his care. This is the only way to keep him close and to be able to monitor, you know, what's happening with the workers that come in, is to have a facility in their garage. And that's really all they need, is that facility to happen. So please go to Dollars for Dallin and help out. Please, if you can. Can you imagine being a parent where they have to take turns? They have to take turns caring so one can sleep. But, you know, there's fits that happen, and he's a big, big kid. And so some problems have arisen from headbutts and things like that because he can't control his body, and they just need your help. I'm really asking for this. I know as a community we can come together and help out. Please get a hold of me, Kate at katedallyradio.com, and Dollars for Dallin. Really help with this. This is something we can do. I know we feel helpless a lot in helping or situations, and this is something you can do, and you can help out a family in need that's going to be really appreciative of that. Can you imagine trying to do all that on your own as a parent and taking turns trying to sleep and not getting more than an hour and a half sleep at a time? After 6 months of that, your own health would be in danger, and that's what's happening. So we've got to act quick. Dollars for Dallin at Venmo. Okay? Or message me, and I'll connect you to the people handling everything, okay? Kate at katedallyradio.com. So it's important. It's important that we come together as a community during times like that and really help out people that are just at their wit's end, okay? So I was trying to put together a timeline. This is the problem. Let me share with you the problem I'm having with the timeline, and then maybe you can help me out to understand. So the school district at Uvalde put out a tweet, and this was at 11:17 a.m. Just remember that, 11:17, not quite 11:20, okay? 11:17. And you have to say, by the time this tweet came out, it was already in motion, right? For them to write this. You don't write it the second it happens. So I would imagine they, at 11:17, they're writing about something that's been in process of happening that they've heard about, got a phone call about, right? And it said, this is the tweet. There's an active shooter at Robb Elementary. Law enforcement is on site. Your cooperation is needed at this time by not visiting the campus. As soon as more information is gathered, it will be shared. The rest of the district is under secure status. That happened at 11:17. Now, it had already been in motion for them to even be able to write that much, okay? The problem is that the authorities say it didn't happen until 11:32, and they're quite sure of that timestamp. That's weird. Because by the time the district got that memo, when you're dealing with an active shooter, you're not immediately, you know what I mean, within those few minutes talking to the district. But by the time the district sent that out, it was 11:17. So going for some time, but then the authorities say it didn't happen till 11:32. They also said this lasted for an hour and a half. Okay. Shooting back and forth with officers who were Border Patrol, by the way, not even cops. Why were the Border Patrol there? That's weird. Why were the feds there? Strange, right? So 11:32, they say it started. Okay. He walked in at 11:32. The other problem is part of this timestamp is that at 11:43, okay, a whole 11 minutes later, Robb Elementary put out on Facebook, they posted at 11:43 that everything was just fine in their school. Everybody was totally safe, but there might have been some shots outside in the area that were fired. But they were in lockdown, totally fine. And this is supposed to be in the middle of a shootout. Wouldn't you hear somebody shooting down the corridor? Especially if you could hear shots fired outside in the area. That's really strange, isn't it? 11:43, so 11:17, school district says active shooter at Robb Elementary. That means it had been going for just a little bit before they actually tweeted that out. 11:32, authorities say it got going. But at 11:43, in the middle of a shootout, Robb Elementary puts out on Facebook, oh, we're fine. We're great in here. Everyone's safe inside the school. Yeah, we're good. There might be some shots outside in the area. Not even outside the door. It was in the area. But we're okay in here. Strange, right? I mean, that's Robb Elementary saying that on Facebook, on their Facebook page. They even timestamped at 11:43. They even said 11:43. Then, 20 minutes later, in the middle of a supposed hour and a half shooting, and this is why I'm having a hard time trying to figure out the timeline, is the district came out and said, oh, we sent all the kids to the Civic Center, all 600 of them. There was no mention of anything happening to the kids. It just, we sent all of them to the Civic Center. You sent all of them to the Civic Center in the middle of gunfire shootout with Border Patrol agents? How'd you get them out? How did you do that? I mean, I don't remember seeing any footage of buses picking those kids up or getting them out of there. In fact, there's no footage whatsoever of children leaving the school in droves like you saw in Columbine. In Columbine, you saw people running from the school. And there was a helicopter above. And the agencies were there just like they were in Columbine in 1999. I mean, they were right there as soon as those tweets started coming out, man. People boogied on down to the school to figure out what was going on. There's no footage, though. I don't see any footage. Where's all the footage of the kids being put in all these mass buses that were ready to go? And they said by, you know, noon, they were having the kids all go to the Civic Center. In fact, no mention of anything except, hey, come pick your kids up and at the Civic Center. It was really strange. And then at the Civic Center, there was a picture of a whiteboard out front with all the names of the teachers. Like it'd been sitting there for a little bit, you know, with a box of water bottles, and they were kind of ready to go. So weird. So strange. Huh. And then at 1:44, they said that 13 were in the hospital, and they backed that up again by saying the memorial, Uvalde Memorial said at 3:30, oh yeah, almost all the kids are fine. They're alive, not fine, alive. Only two died. But then by 4 o'clock, a half an hour later, they were all dead. Not one lingered on beyond that, beyond 4 o'clock. How did they all die? And then added four more. And then they said a lot of them were sent to San Antonio. How do they all die? That's so weird. I've never seen that happen like that. They also said that the suspect was in custody, and they mentioned it over and over again that he was in custody by that time. By 1:30. or by 1 o'clock. I'm sorry. So remember the hour and a half, 11:32 to 1 o'clock. So they said they had him in custody, but then they said, and that was the police saying it, but then they said, well, he died in the shootout with the Border Patrol agents that just happened to be there at the school. Huh. So what? How did that happen? Was he in custody and then shot himself? That's weird. Or did he just shoot him? I mean, did he shoot himself there at the school? They said that he was gunned down by officers in the back and forth that was going on while all the kids were being transported out. Interesting. So I'm just trying to figure out how all of this plays out. And then Salvador Ramos, this was interesting too. There's a lot of pictures in drag. He's dressed as a girl. And that's kind of weird because the media is not really mentioning that. Well, he was a cross-dresser and he living with his grandmother, but he had two brand new defense AR-15 rifles worth like $5,000 plus ammo that he left a whole bag of ammo. So he was able to afford that as a high school student, plus optics and really expensive gear that he was wearing. Well, I find that to be kind of strange. How did he get all that? I remember when the FBI befriended a kid that had mental problems and the parents came forward and said that they kept promising the boy a job and in the FBI and that he was their new buddy and they kept giving him stuff like a driver's license that he wasn't supposed to have and because of his mental problems and stuff. And he kept showing up with stuff, like even a van. And the parents were angry because they said, please stay away from our son. But the FBI kept going near the boy and wanting to be friends with the boy and coming into the house when the parents weren't there. They were really upset by this. That story got buried by the media, but a lot of people picked it up and thought it was really strange. But even Fox News today, we all know how screwed up Fox News is, but they said the school officer was injured by the gunfire, which allowed suspect Salvador Ramos to run inside the school, barricade himself, dropped a whole bag of ammunition that he had extra at the entrance of the school as a result of the shootout. Yet, I can't get over the fact that Robb Elementary sent out a message at 11:43 saying, we're fine. We're all good in here. We're all in lockdown. Nothing to see here, folks. Huh. Really weird. Yeah. And like I said, I'm still looking for those aerial images of any like kids running from the school or administration and strange. Okay. I'll be right back. If you want to chime in, you're certainly able to do so. Love your phone calls. 888-673-1450. The shooter was even untrained. How'd they manage to do that act without any personnel getting in the way? I don't know. Very strange. Be right back.
Uncle Milty here for HearingAndBrainCenters.com. Two men stopped me the other day and pulled their guns out. I looked at them and said, you guys are going to be in real trouble because the president has vowed to do something about gun violence and crime. The last thing I remember was laughter and a sharp pain on my head. Uncle Milty here for HearingAndBrainCenters.com, 435-612-1023, HearingAndBrainCenters.com, 435-612-1023.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Let me talk to you a while. That's right, step right up and listen to a concerned citizen speak his piece. I tell you a little something that my daddy told me. My basic fundamentals if you want to be free.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. All right. Make sure you get over to Beehive Equipment Rental. Those are the only people to rent from. Their equipment's fantastic. They take very good care of it, and you have the best prices, hands down. So Beehive Rental, hat tip to you guys. You guys are amazing. And doing good work out there, and I love locals that do good business. Like even the Garage Doors Only, amazing business run by patriots. Give them your business. Garage Doors Only. You're going to get the best garage door, and you're going to love it. They'll even fix a garage door that somebody else put in. They have the best technicians. They're fast. They know what they're doing. They're talented. And by the way, the best garage doors. So an array of the very best of the best, but you get the best prices. And they're looking out for you. So Garage Doors Only in Utah and Nevada. Love those guys. Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate, I listened to the press conference today, and someone, I can't remember who, someone mentioned during that press conference that before the shooting, the actual shooter had been approached by the school resource officer, and that the officer had let him into the school through a lock that was a door that was normally locked. Hmm. And no one in the press followed up on that comment.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a pretty big comment right there. Because I think you would notice a scrawny little 18-year-old with a lot of guns on him. I mean, I don't know how you could hide the rifle.
Exactly. And so who's this resource officer? And you know, it just, that was a weird statement. And no one in the press that was at that press conference said anything.
Right. Good catch. Thank you for that. Really appreciate that. You know, it's very strange. It almost seemed, could I just go as far as to say it almost seemed like they thought they were in a drill? I mean, They had another drill March 9th as well. Same thing, the elementary school. But this elementary school, they also were cashing in on some COVID dollars from January, got a $500,000 grant and some more monies actually given to them. And also, the hospital had just had a big, huge closed-door session over funding for the hospital. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The other thing, too, was how the numbers changed so quickly. That's always strange to me when I see that. I even shared on Facebook a couple of these slides of the school saying what they were saying and doing what they were doing. They even said their timestamp on these is really incredible. But even the Memorial Hospital came out and said, Uvalde Memorial, you know, we only have several patients in the ER, and they were in the ER. They weren't in the ICU or anything. They weren't in intensive care. And then, of course, they just died. So that's kind of strange. And that was way after the shooting. So they didn't say that they were in complete peril. It's weird. Yeah, really, really strange. And how'd they get all the kids out? So the other day I put up, I think it was yesterday, I put up this false flag event identification. Let me just run through those real quick for you. This seems to happen over and over again. It's very reminiscent of Sandy Hook, actually. I was listening. Did you know I listened to all the 911 tapes of Sandy Hook? When the person called and said, there is shooting out front of the school, and there was no shots being heard on the phone call. But the person kept repeating it. And then the officer kept saying, well, how about those kids out front, not in the school, but out front, right? And he kept addressing the kids out front. And then the caller said, oh, there's some glass on the sidewalk. So somebody going in to shoot a school up, you would have the sound of rapid gunfire happening, but that wasn't going on when the calls were made. Anyway, it seemed as though the law enforcement was very lazy that day. They didn't really care much about what was going on in the tapes, and they were very much like, nothing to see here, folks. Okay, we'll get Bob down there. No problem. I mean, it was really lackadaisical, not really in the middle of something heinous going on. So I wanted to share that with you because I personally listened to all those tapes, and it took a long time to do it. Okay, so Here's the false flag event identification. Number one, media cannot get the facts straight. So at one point at like 3:30 or 3:45, you had 14 dead kids, and then you, or 14 alive kids, and two dead, and then you had 18 dead by the end of that hour. It very strange. So the numbers kept changing. Number two, the assailant is a loner and between the ages of 18 and 29. The story doesn't add up. Number three, numbers change dramatically. Media can't get their facts straight. Don't know really what time it started, even though the authorities have said the exact time. Not 11:35. No. Exact time. 11:32. Assailant has skills to do a massacre without any training at all, nor anyone intervening, even though they had five officers on staff. The schools had their own, it's a very small school district, had their own police department. The assailant ends up dead or sent to the mental hospital. That happened, even though they said he was in custody forever. Even the police came out with a tweet. I actually looked at the tweet, said, "We have him in custody." Then he died? Strange. The mugshot ready with no prior record. They had a mugshot ready to go, but no prior record. That's very weird. Media will talk about it incessantly 24/7. Everyone will start changing their profiles to prayers for Uvalde. You'll see the big, huge, I'm not allowed to say any of this in this last segment or right now because I don't care about children if I say these things that don't add up. I'm sure I'll get some hate mail for saying anything. In fact, one guy on Facebook said, the authorities hardly ever get the times right, so you can't have that as proof. Well, at 11:43, when everything was supposed to be going on, the school did report out that nothing was happening and they were fine inside the school, locked down. Strange. Anyway, gun control will be at the center of every interview and statement. It happens in a place that most figure is safe, second, third, and fourth graders. And I was looking at some of the lists of the kids and it just seemed like they were older than that, but it was a second, third, and fourth grade school. That's it. They were also looking for a lot of money for their language program, by the way, that right before all this happened. So I just wanted to mention that. Not that it means anything, just a strange piece that kind of flows with everything. Also, the assailant had social media posts that tell you the motive. So no actual police work ever has to happen. And come to find out today that he had some social media posts. So right before you're going to go in and shoot people, you're going to put it on Facebook. Right? The motive. So you can tie it up with a bow and you know exactly. So no one is left with a question. So no police work actually has to be done. I was waiting for the social media post because that happens every time. So they're able to show you the proof, they say, in quotations, the proof of the social media post pointing to the fact that he hated people and that's why he did it. He hated white people or he hated people or whatever the case was. And then all victims die within a mysterious short time frame. That did happen. So, the media and the politicians will never, ever say, not one time in the press, if the adults that were there were armed, this wouldn't have happened. You'll never hear that. See, the problem is that gun violence is only way under 1% in this country. So 13 to 15,000 deaths a year due to gun violence. It just so happens when we do have Democrat presidents in, there's a sharp uptick of 100 or more so shootings like this, where there's a lot of discrepancies and no explaining. And then just you hate children if you mention anything that you're seeing that doesn't add up, like no footage of anything actually going on in an hour and a half shooting. No actual footage. Huh, that's weird. Okay, so they have some footage at the Civic Center, kids being reunited, but nothing. In an hour and a half shootout, they had nothing? The helicopter didn't get anything? Boy, they sure got a lot at Columbine. That was, how many years ago? 23 years ago? They were able to get there and get overhead footage. It reminds me a little bit of Sandy Hook when they didn't have a whole bunch of people leaving the school then either. They only had one group of about 20 kids and the teacher, and they kept showing that footage over and over of the same teacher with the same 20 kids. And there were tents with big water bottle things all set up for everybody because the school had been shut down and they were most likely in a drill. So I just wanted to mention that. Some of the people interviewed were extremely calm. One lady was even smiling on camera that her niece was missing and that she was sent in to identify, but it was the wrong child. I don't know that that would actually happen, but that's what she said. So she didn't seem rocked by that at all. She was actually smiling on camera. She seemed pretty okay. She seemed really calm and just very matter of fact. Oh, yeah, my niece. Yeah, I'm missing. We don't know where she is. So there you go. And then there was a guy on camera who said, yeah, I don't know where my daughter is. And he was really calm. White guy, just don't know where. Yeah, I know that she's not in San Antonio. I just don't know where. Hope we can find her. Just calm as calm can be, just right outside his house. Not even really looking, just right outside his house. It's really strange. So with all of that being said, I could go back to Columbine, and I've done whole show, not Columbine, Sandy Hook. I've done whole shows on that. And it really is, there's way too many questions. Like most of the parents involved had moved there within the 2 years prior to the event and then all left within 1 year. They left their children in a cemetery and then left and moved. So that was kind of strange that they all moved there. Nobody was homegrown. And in a small community, that will be kind of interesting to kind of keep an eye on. Also, they didn't have any open caskets at Sandy Hook. And so I thought that was kind of strange. One of the little boys ended up on a poster, Pakistan, what was going on in Pakistan a couple of years after Sandy Hook. Same boy, same picture of the boy, exact picture of the boy. Ended up in Pakistan. So that was kind of strange. But no open caskets. And I'm not trying to be heartless. I'm just trying to get a good timeline. And I can't even do that. I'm prevented from getting a timeline because the timeline is so messed up. The school saying everything's great in here when they're supposed to be in the middle of a shooting. And then a kid who doesn't have any money, lives with his grandma, trans kid who all of a sudden is shooting a school up. And with such accuracy, I mean, without training, that would be very difficult to do. Just happened to get a gun right after his 18th birthday and the mugshot ready to go with no priors. But there was a mugshot ready to go and they put that out in the press. But nobody ever questions that. Well, why is there a mugshot? I thought you had no priors. Oh, that's a pesky question to ask. Nobody's asking that either. Nobody asked why all the homes were bought on Christmas Day 2 years for the parents of the Sandy Hook victims. Every single one of those homes was bought on the same day. I looked it up. I did all the research back 2 years exactly before Sandy Hook. Oh, it's kind of strange. Then they all moved there and their kids were the only ones involved. And then they all moved away. Not something usually people do. I always look for what do people usually do and what's the common sense. And, you know, I don't think in this case, a school is going to tweet out everything's great here and there might be something going on in the city, but everything's fine in here. 10 to 20 minutes inside the event. That's an hour and a half of shoot up. I don't know that that's actually going to happen. And then how did all those kids get there? Where were all the buses? How did they all get to the Civic Center? I don't see any footage of that. I just keep looking and I can't find it. So if you find it, send it to me. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I'm not really wrong. I'm just trying to put together a proper timeline. So if you want to help me out, send me footage. And I'd be glad to view that. And hearts go out to anyone that is grieving or in this situation. Of course. Of course. I just would like a timeline of the events. That'd be really helpful. A truthful timeline. Anyway, I'll be right back with Melissa. Hey, everybody. This is a special you need to be aware of for Father's Day. Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives, but he didn't stop by just creating the best pillow. Now he's done it again with My Slippers. Now, listen, this is the first time he's ever done this and gone this far, but for a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year is not going to last, so you've got to order right now, and you can order in time for Father's Day. He took over 2 years to develop these slippers. They're designed to wear inside and out. It's like walking on pillows, you guys. It's amazing. It's impact gel plus foam to prevent fatigue. And it's also made with quality leather suede. So happy to be able to bring this to you. But what a deal that is. $90 off the My Slippers. You're practically getting them for free. So make sure you order up for Father's Day. I promise you, he does not have slippers like these slippers. Get them for the man in your life. They're going to love them. In order to get this special deal, you have to go to mypillow.com/Kate. mypillow.com/Kate. If you just go to mypillow.com and put in the word Kate, you're never going to get this deal. It's only for you listeners, and it's for a very limited time. They're doing a blowout. mypillow.com/Kate brings you right to the link to get that deal.